starting out.
Contest. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
That's right, and at some point we will be giving you a chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply in Broadview with true outlet prices every day. Just in, come see the beautiful new mahogany and elderwood entry doors. Builder Supply in Broadview. You ready? Ready to get things
ready
started?
To go.
Let's start things off then.
Number five.
Number five, Karl Rove went on Fox News this afternoon to express his frustration that Donald Trump for repeated failure to stay on message and seemingly inability not to trip himself up with ill-considered impromptu remarks. Mm.
He has 88 days to make his case. He has squandered the last 3 weeks by responding to the Gold Star mother, by the day after he had his presidential nomination, they became the official nominee of the Republican Party. The first news conference he has is not devoted to laying out a case against Hillary Clinton or bashing Barack Obama or laying out what he wants to do as president. It is renewing and revisiting all of the things that he said about Ted Cruz, who was yesterday's news right at that point. And why? Because he just felt compelled to do it. He ought to get control of his impulses and keep focused on the main target.
He will never get control of his impulses.
No, it's true that it's been sort of self-destructive, though. Some of the things he's just walked himself into knowingly, you would think, that some people are even suggesting that maybe he's trying to get out. How many times have you seen a candidate say, well, you know, maybe we won't win the election?
Right. Well he's just going along vacation.
I think it's starting to sink in. He's got almost no chance. But he's 70 years old. He's not changing. He's not changing in the next 2.5 months.
No, it's like if you put your grandpa out there and went, Grandpa, just say what we want you to say.
It's not going to happen.
I'm going to say whatever I want.
Yeah.
And he just keeps doing it. And I like the fact that the Republican establishment just, they act so shocked every time he speaks. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Really? This is your guy.
Right. There's another meeting with Reince Priebus and him. And, you know, you wonder if they're still trying to manage him or just realize that he's unmanageable.
Damage control.
Right.
How do we move on after he loses when he gets about 170 electoral votes at tops?
Yeah, I wonder if they're if at this point they haven't officially said they're going to focus on the lower tickets, but the other races. But it seems like they might have to at some point, or maybe not. Maybe they just ride him all the way into oblivion. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Annie, you ready to keep going?
Ready to go.
Are you ready?
Number four.
Donald Trump, while campaigning to more than 700 evangelical pastors in Orlando, Florida yesterday, said that he must win the election in November.
This will be maybe the most important election that our country's ever had. So go out and spread the word. And once I get in, I will do my thing that I do very well. And I figure it's probably maybe the only way I'm going to get to heaven. So I better do a good job. Okay?
I think he may have had a couple tips of the cap.
He's just crazy.
What does that mean?
One of the most amazing things about Donald Trump. He's never had an alcoholic drink in his life.
Right.
He's never had a drink.
No.
There's
and
just enough going
talks
on up in that head anyway.
But it doesn't mean he hasn't had something else. Why is he so subdued right now? Isn't it strange? It's a different Donald Trump
than
we've
seen. It was a different tone.
Yeah.
And what is it that I'm going to do what it is that I do.
Do what you do so well. It's like, what?
Sit back and relax.
Very specific plan there. Very specific.
Don't get bogged down in the details, Richard, because once you're bogged down in the details, it gets very confusing.
We're totally confident now.
Just ride the wave of, I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to get to heaven.
But wait, there's more. Today at a rally in Pennsylvania, Mr. Trump accused the dishonest media of misreporting his words when he said President Obama is the founder of ISIS.
When I said that Obama, and of course I'm being sarcastic, and they know that, because after I said that, I said he's the MVP, he's going to collect his MVP award. Okay. So I said, Obama is the founder of ISIS. The founder. And these dishonest media people, the most dishonest people, they said, oh, did he mean that? Didn't he mean that? And after that, I'd say a lot. In fact, they like him so much because he's been so weak and so bad.
What is happening?
Let's raise our hands if we're part of the dishonest media. Raise your hand in the room.
That's what he said.
If I can please, a quote from Merriam-Webster, which I think is a respected dictionary, correct?
It's a good source.
This is the simple definition of sarcasm from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Quote, the use of words that mean the opposite of what you really want to say, especially in order to insult someone, to show irritation, or to be funny. So does that mean that Donald Trump was really saying that President Obama was completely against ISIS?
I think what he wanted to say was he's using hyperbole, which is an exaggeration as a figure of speech to say, you know, I'm hungry, I can eat a horse, right? You don't really mean that, but you're saying you're trying to suggest something else. And that's what his surrogates were trying to clean up later, saying, okay, he really meant that there was a power vacuum created in Iraq when we pulled U.S. troops down and that allowed for the emergence of ISIS. But he doubled down later and said, no, I meant that Barack Obama founded ISIS.
Yeah, but the dishonest media, they twisted his words.
Rich, come on. You know we're all the dishonest media. For two days, even on conservative shows, when hosts of those shows were firmly behind Donald Trump and did everything they could to throw him a lifeline to say, isn't this what you meant? Mm. Nope. He founded ISIS.
Right.
Yeah. Are you sure you didn't mean this?
He was continuing the joke all that time.
The sarcasm, whatever it was, continued. And there's one more example of it right here we've got.
So I said the founder of ISIS, and in fact, very soon he's going over to pick up his most valuable player award. Did I say that? Right? I'd say it all the time. So they knew I was being sarcastic, but now they're analyzing. Did I really mean that? How could I say that? These people are the lowest form of life.
Wow. How do you feel about that? Well, lowest form of life.
I don't know how you. Another way to win an election is to criticize all of the media covering you. I'm not sure.
A man who has courted the media like no public figure I've ever covered in my career, in any faction of my career.
Right.
Nobody calls the press more, sucks up behind closed doors, works the press more, talks about how great they are behind closed doors.
Sends them
nobody
gifts
more than
and invitations and wines and dines them, invites them to Mar-a-Lago and that kind of thing. And now he's. You know,
wait, you've been invited to Mar-a-Lago?
I haven't personally, but you hear of all the celebrities and the media type people that have been there and they've golfed and, you know, there are all kinds of things that have happened. So as Richard says, there's a courting process.
There is. And again, when you double down for a couple days and you're given every chance to back off and you don't, what you said is what you meant. If you or I or any of us did that, we'd be held to what we say. But, you know. It doesn't seem to work that way.
This is the Donald.
All right. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we are going to continue the top five at five. Why not? Because we've only done five and four, so we have a few more to go. But first, we must go upstairs, where Violetta Podramatic is patiently waiting, hoping that I don't forget to come up there and let her do traffic trouble spots. I will not, especially this time, because her report is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Violetta! All right, we should probably continue the top five at five, shouldn't we? Anna DeVellantis is here. Richard Roper is here. I'm Brian Linden.
Number three.
Roe is not here. On Tuesday.
Drinking in his honor.
Of course. I had six Manhattans in Roe's honor, which explains that
proud.
I can't say $50 gift certificate. On Tuesday, ESPN reported about Tim Tebow's desire to play Major League Baseball. Today on First Take, Stephen A. Smith sounded off about it. He was not too pleased.
Buck Showalter is on the money about, is alluding to the work that so many people put in just to strive to get noticed. And all Tim Tebow has to do is get a publicist to leak the information, and everyone will clamor to watch him and to see what he's worth. Why?
Stephen A. doesn't like the fact that Tim Tebow might be playing outfield for somebody.
I get a kick out of Stephen A. Smith because he's like that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
I'll have two eggs and some bacon and then some orange juice. Why? Because I'm hungry and it's the morning.
I don't want pulp. Pulp is for suckers. I don't want you bringing me any pulp.
And I will answer his question. First of all, Tim Tebow's a guy who likes the spotlight and likes to get his message out there, and he's a man of faith. The other thing is, he's going to sign with some minor league team. We know this is going to happen because they're going to get thousands upon thousands of people to turn out. They're going to make money. The small town where he's going to play is going to benefit
Schaumburg
from it.
Already offered him
the
a contract.
The Schaumburg team has offered him. It's like Michael Jordan. Remember, he got the luxury bus for the other guys? They all actually loved it, the other players. You know, they had a chance. And same thing, Tebow's not in Michael Jordan's class as an athlete, but he'll bring a lot of attention. Maybe one of the young players will even get noticed more. I don't see what the problem is with this.
Let's hear a little bit more of Stephen A.
There are a plethora of individuals, they can't be numbered, that are out there pounding the pavement, grinding, starving for one opportunity to be recognized. Nobody gives a damn about them. But Tim Tebow, because he's loved, because we appreciate how he invokes God and Jesus Christ with practically everything that he says, and how he's the walking embodiment of decency, because that's who we like as a person. We're going to sit there and elevate his stature and his cachet in a public forum where he gets to get recognized for things he doesn't deserve to be recognized
for. So let me get this straight.
He has done nothing on the baseball level that warrants anybody even going to look at him take a swing.
Wow, he played in high school, Stephen A.
It's almost as if you were like a sports writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and then you parlayed that into a broadcasting career without going to the small markets. Why, can you imagine?
Why dicker over the details? And then, to your point, Rich, Stephen A. brings up Michael Jordan.
It's not his fault. The teams and the media. He has done nothing to deserve this opportunity. If that's the case, I got a whole bunch of brothers in Hollis, Queens who play stickball at 190 PS 192 Park in Hollis. They can swing a bat, Matt.
Michael Jordan got a minor league contract.
Oh my God.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Right. I am quoting Run DMC with Hollis Queens. I cannot be interrupted.
Right. I'm starting to feel like I need to be
angry.
Can
I interrupt?
Yes.
Why? Sure. Okay.
I have a flash flood warning now for Grundy, Will Cook, and Kendall County until 11:50 tonight. So it's been extended, expanded rather, from just Grundy. It's now also Will Cook and Kendall and Grundy counties until 11:50.
Thank you, Kim. And again, we're still waiting for the 19th.
First, it was just Grundy, but now Will and Cook have to get involved as well.
Why do those counties who haven't done anything to deserve a flash flood warning, like Will County, now Grundy County jumping in like it's somebody and it's nobody? The counties in Hollis, Queens, they don't get any sort of flood warnings. Builder's Supply Outlet is giving away a $50 gift certificate. If you are the 19th caller, we don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. All right, we have to keep going. I am enjoying Stephen A. Smith.
Because I was getting too angry about something I don't care about at all. Like, if Tebow plays or doesn't, I don't know that I care, but people are angry about that.
Oh, good, because he's filling in next week for Wednesday and Thursday.
He doesn't get to do Fridays.
Not sure that's something that should get people that angry.
Number two.
Yeah! Wow!
All right. 25 years ago today, Metallica released its fifth studio album that often has been referred to as the Black Album. The self-entitled album hit store shelves August 12th, 1991. Critically acclaimed for a heavy metal album, sold over 16 million copies.
Really?
Yeah, but perhaps best remembered as the record that marked a change in the band's thrash sounds to softer tones.
This is a great slow dance song.
Love the Metallica. Mm-hmm. The Sandman, that was the Mariano Rivera walk-on music when he would come in for the Yankees, right?
That song
put him
was
asleep.
Everywhere.
He put the opposing batters to sleep. But they're sort of, I love that band, but they got a little bit of, they're like the Stephen A. Smith of metal bands, because no matter what they're singing about, it's super dramatic. So it's like, so I'll have the Cheerios with some cold milk. Yes, right, some milk.
Well, they started out trying to be the loudest, like, heaviest, mind-blowing band on the planet, and then they went a little softer.
And then they had through counseling, and they had a whole big thing in Monster, their documentary. It was
like 12 hours. And it's fascinating.
It actually really is. It's great. Yeah. It's like the ultimate behind the music video.
It really is.
Let's wrap things up, shall we?
number one.
Number one on the top five of five. The number one rule for throwing out a ceremonial first pitch: don't bounce it.
You can't do that.
No. Well, apparently there's some concern that Northwestern head basketball coach Chris Collins will do just that when he tosses the first pitch ahead of Sunday night's Cubs-Cardinals game at Wrigley Field. The Wildcats posted a pretty funny video Thursday featuring Collins practicing and getting some pointers from his assistants, the NU baseball coach, the NU golf coach, and even famous Northwestern alum Mike Wilbon, who are all convinced that Collins will, in fact, bounce his first pitch.
Okay. Hey, Coach, aren't you throwing out the first pitch this Sunday night at Wrigley Field in the Cub-Cardinal game?
Yeah, Sunday night.
You better not bounce it in there, then.
You kidding me?
Trust me, he's going to bounce it.
I personally witnessed what Chris does in front of a crowd playing golf. He's going to bounce it for sure.
Everybody thinks it's so easy to go out and perform efficiently in front of millions of people on ESPN. Thinks he's going to go out there and fire something in like he was 16 in Northbrook. He's going to bounce it.
Love the smack talking.
That's great.
Happy that Stephen A. Smith wasn't part of it. Wouldn't have been a
just little... because he's the coach of the basketball team, now he gets to throw out a first pitch.
This is not a bounce pass,
nothing
coach.
He deserved that first pitch. My favorite, though, is Jim Harbaugh, who actually brought his own glove and cleats to throw out a first pitch.
Well, you got to. Why not do it that way? All right, we got to wrap things
up. The top five at five.